Those of you listening who might be a bit younger, say under the age of 40, might be wondering how in the world did men and women meet back in those prehistoric times of the 20th century? After all, there was no Tinder, not even a matchmaker site online, not even an internet, to be honest. There was, though, the good old-fashioned newspaper classifieds. And that's where you found ads for Lonely Hearts Clubs. Joining those clubs, combined with envelopes, paper, and stamps, was sure to find you true love. And oftentimes, fraud. Today we tell the story of a man who apparently took the fraudulent use of the Lonely Hearts Club to a fine high art. Hello folks, I'm Steve Gilley, along with Rod Mullins, and this is Stories, a History of Appalachia.
Steve, this reminds me of an episode from the Andy Griffith Show when Floyd was trying to, well, I guess sell himself off as a wealthy playboy, and this woman came to, really more than anything else, defraud him of everything that he supposedly had. And, you know, Andy had to, you know, tell him, I think you need to fess up about this. But I've got a question for you. I want you to answer this.
I'll do my best.
When you were in high school, and that was some years before me, not a long time, but did you ever hear of a subscription service or a thing of little letters or a little packet that would come in the mail? Some of us boys would go and we'd do it just for the heck of it and see what would happen, called Loveline.
No, I have to say, I never heard of that one.
We did that sometimes when I was in school, and that was prior to going into high school. And we kind of got ourselves in trouble. I did, at least with my mom, asking me, what is this? And I'm like, I have no idea what it is. I had to just lie through my teeth to get through it. And then, you know, I would have been in trouble at that point. I mean, to come to Clintwood, Virginia, and want to meet the young stud, so to speak, as we kind of bragged ourselves out to be, I don't think that would have worked very well. It oftentimes didn't work out very well for some of these ladies who became, well, how can we say this, enamored and somewhat, you know, wanting to have this man as their escort or their future husband.
Until they found out what he looked like.
Right.
Well, no, I have no experience with anything like that. I do remember pen pals. That was a thing back then, although that wasn't so much romantic as it was just, you know, someone to write letters back and forth to. Way back in those prehistoric, pre-internet days for me of the 1970s. So there you go. But back to 2022. And we're going to tell you a story about, well, I guess you'd call him a Lonely Hearts con man. And our story takes place starting on July 15th, 1949, in Gate City, Virginia, at the train station depot, where a man named Ernest I. Torrance was waiting on the next train. Now, Mr. Torrance had noticed a young woman who he boldly began to hit on, but she was having none of it. Now, the woman noticed some railroad detectives nearby. She called out to come help her, and they started toward the pair, but when Torrance noticed they were approaching, Buddy, he took off, getting into his car and speeding away.
I want to know what he did when he boldly began to hit it on. What was that considered to be back in those days? I just, you know, that kind of catches me off guard here. We're talking 1949. Of course, anything could have been out of you know, sync with this whole thing. But still, the detectives ended up contacting the police, Steve, who soon were in hot pursuit of Ernest Torrance. The chase continued through Scott County for about 15 miles before they were able to stop Torrance's car. A search of the vehicle turned up some interesting things. Well, before you start letting your mind wander here, let's just say this. Ernest Torrance was carrying about 300 or so letters from Lonely Hearts Club around the country. Now, Lonely Hearts Club being the dead tree version of Tinder back in those days. Well, along with those love letters was a check endorsed by a woman named Julia Annan of Penn Township in Pennsylvania. That raised the suspicions of the police, so they did a background check, and they found that Mr. Torrance had a warrant out for his arrest issued by the authorities of all places, Carroll County, Virginia, the site of the famous shootout there at the Hillsville Courthouse. But Carroll County, Virginia, and the arrest had been issued. The arrest order had been issued by authorities there.
Well, Torrence was transported not to Hillsville, but to the Withful Jail. Seems there was some concern that he probably wouldn't be safe in the jail there in Carroll County, to be held on charges that he'd swindled a woman out of her life savings. He pleaded not guilty of those charges at a hearing on August 15, 1949. He also refused to tell the judge or anyone else if Ernest I. Torrence was his real name. Meanwhile, as he sat in his jail cell, a petite, attractive 28-year-old blonde woman arrived in Withful to bail him out. This woman, who said she was Mrs. Mildred Torrence, Ernest's common-law wife, had hitchhiked to the jail from her home in Ashland, Kentucky. Instead of getting Mr. Torrence out of the pokey, Mildred joined him there in another cell. She was arrested on charges that she had been Ernest's conspirator, posing as his sister in many of his swindles of women across the country. A check on her showed that her name was Mildred Martha Dearman of Ashland, Kentucky.
Well, Steve, according to the charges against him, Ernest Torrence had promised to marry Stella Hill of Freeze, Virginia, and the two had become engaged. According to Ms. Hill's testimony at the trial, the 47-year-old cotton mill worker had met Ernest after she had joined a Lonely Hearts Club, the Evan Moore Club of Jacksonville, Florida, while on vacation. He had sent her what she called a, quote, sweet-talking letter, end quote, then called on her. He told her he was a traveling agent for a hotel chain named Bradley F. McMillan, and after five dates, he proposed to her. He then got her to turn over $2,500, big money back in the late 40s and early 50s, then another $550 8 days later, so he could develop a hotel corporation on a piece of property in Florida. Well, he showed his fiancée a fake deed to the property so that she would be convinced to give him the money. After getting the money, though, Torrence vanished. It turned out, though, that among the items found in his car in July was a book of, quote-unquote, blank deeds.
Wow, what a coincidence.
Yeah.
Well, Torrence was tried and convicted of grand larceny and sentenced to 10 years in the Virginia State Penitentiary, the maximum sentence. And what of that check from the woman in Pennsylvania? You know, the suspicious check that started the whole investigation. Well, Ernest had managed to swindle her out of her life savings of $14,000 after he'd promised to marry her as well. He had met the woman, Julia Annan, a waitress from Wilkinsburg, when she'd gone on vacation in Arizona. There he wined and dined her, and the two began to see each other after Julia returned to Pennsylvania. He talked her first into giving him $5,000 for a Florida orange grove. In return, he sent her family 74 crates of oranges. Collect.
Oh, that was so nice of him, wasn't it, to send them collect?
It certainly was. The family used Julia's young brother's savings to pay for the oranges, then turned around and sold them, just about breaking even. Now, Ernest asked Julia to marry him, and as you can already guess, Rod, she said yes. He gave her a fine engagement ring, but for which he asked her to loan him the money to pay for it, promising to pay her back.
Oh, yeah, he was really bona fide, as they would say at Oh Brother, Where Art Thou? He was bona fide. Well, Julia gave him money for a part interest in a show horse, which Ernest sold to invest in a television corporation. He told Julia that he was the son of an Irish movie actor named Ernest I. Torrence, and that he'd make them rich through television and his connections. Well, in total, Julia and her family paid around $14,000 to Ernest Torrence, including over $3,000, to bail him out of jail. And these two were not his only victims by far.
No, they weren't. Seems a woman in Waycross, Georgia also fell for Ernest's charms. She too thought the charming gentleman was going to marry her until he took $700 worth of her jewelry, then disappeared. He was also wanted by the law in Texas and Ohio for swindling other women who met him through one of those Lonely Hearts clubs. Mildred Dearman slash Torrance was transferred to Pennsylvania to face charges that she'd helped Ernest get that money from Julia Annan, you know, the one that wrote that check the cops found in Torrance's car. Ms. Annan gave that check to Ernest after she'd met who she was told was his sister, but who was actually Mildred. Mildred was convicted, but after Ms. Annan took pity on her, she told the court that, well, she had faith in Mildred to do the right thing and pay the money back if she is given the chance. So the court gave Mildred 5 years of probation and ordered her to pay back the money Julia Annan had given Ernest Torrance. Mildred told the judge that she was willing to sell some of her Kentucky horses to repay Julia. Here's a lesson, folks. Never, ever trust a con man or his common law wife.
Amen to that. Mildred did not pay one penny of the money she was ordered to pay. Folks, if you didn't know it, I was shaking my head the whole time while Steve was reading that because I didn't think she was going to pay that money back whatsoever. Well, the Pennsylvania judge sentenced her to an indefinite sentence to the state industrial home for women in Muncie, Pennsylvania, with a plan to pay back every penny owed to Julia Annan to be worked out before she could seek release. Well, Ernest I. Torrance continued his Lothario ways after he got out of jail because, well, the last thing we found out about Ernest was from a published court case in 1973. Steve, why don't you tell us about it?
Well, seems he'd been charged with defrauding a Houston, Texas woman, believe it or not. He met the woman through a Lonely Hearts club, and using the name Farley Stevens, he proposed to her, moved her to Florida, and talked her into not only giving him $7,000 of her life savings, but to also part with the equity from the sale of her house, $12,000, which was not a small sum back in those days, that he talked her into selling the house so that she could come to Florida with him. And unfortunately, Rod, the story of Ernest I. Torrance then runs cold. We weren't able to find out what happened with the Houston woman, nor with Ernest if that really ever was his name. And he did say one thing that was true. There was an Irish actor named Ernest I. Torrance from back in the 30s who was fairly popular in Great Britain and the UK and even had a few bit parts over here in the US and Hollywood. Whether Ernest I. Torrance was his dad or whether this guy's name was Ernest Torrance, which I doubt it was, nobody will ever know.
Wow. You know, and they say life imitates art, art imitates life, so to speak. Gosh, how many TV shows or movies have we seen with this kind of scenario with? You know, there was a movie here several years ago, I think, Leonardo DiCaprio. What was it? Catch Me If You Can, I think was what
it
was.
Yeah, I believe it was, yeah.
Something like that, you know, and he played off. But, of course, during that whole time, he was getting the money out. He was seducing the women, and then he'd move on to something else. But this is actually taking a woman for everything she had, or their family for everything they had out of this whole thing. And, oh, it's just sad that people fall for things like this. And I don't know. I guess I could say I have fallen for things like this before, but, you know, I hope I've learned my lesson down the line.
Well, there are some people that are very trusting.
Yes.
And some people who are really searching for something, and in this case it was true love, and they would believe whatever they felt they needed to believe, I guess, to be able to get what they wanted, even though probably deep down they realized this can't be real. This guy can't be real. Mm-hmm. This story, though, reminds me of that other one we did a few months back, the one about that fellow over in North Carolina.
Yes.
Who just got into everything. Although most of it wasn't romantically inclined, he just was a con man. This one, he must have been one smooth talker. That's all I can say.
Playing the field, playing the deeds, and playing the money. That's what he was doing the whole time.
And that, folks, is the story of a smooth-talking con man who conned several women across Appalachia in the 1940s and 50s. Another bit of the history of this place we call home. Thanks for listening. Now, you can subscribe to the Stories Podcast in a whole bunch of ways. Apple Podcasts, for example, Spreaker, Good Pods, Stitcher, Audible, Google Podcasts, or wherever fine podcasts are found. Again, thanks for listening. Until next we meet, y'all take care. So long, everybody.